Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends, and thanks again for tuning into your show, Raising Expectations. And we are so excited to be with you tonight and share someone who's our good friend, and your response has been terrific. I know you're excited to hear from him tonight, and we're excited also today. What a wonderful, what an inspiring, what an encouraging inauguration day for the land that we love, the United States of America. And we're so thankful that President Trump and Vice President J.D. Lance are there, and they're ready to go. And boy, are we excited about this. So we're going to be praying for the unity, the call of God on their lives, the coming together of people across the nation on our knees, and building what God has in store for our great country. And hopefully that's going to raise a lot of expectations. Speaking of, since that's the name of our show, I want to go back real quick as we begin tonight and bring on Doc. We want to let you know, many of you, again, are new tonight. We want you to know our team. This is an outstanding team of people. You're going to love these people. They love the Lord. They love each other. And it just oozes out when you get to know these folks. You're going to be glad to know them. We're going to start on the West Coast, all the way out in Lompoc, California. We have Dr. Paul Hall, who's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He is he's just an incredible man of God that's been used in so many lives over countless years. And like we often say, he's the best man in Lompoc. We voted him in. As soon as he won, by our vote, we closed it down. But he is still in charge in Lompoc, California. Good to see you, Dr. Hall. Good to see you, Paul.
Good to see all of you.
Amen. That's for sure. Amen. So going back across, Paul and I are going to go together now all the way to the east side of the United States, the southeast, which is there in Dalton, Georgia. And there are two of our favorite people in the world. That's Stephanie and Craig, Dr. Craig Thayer. And they're there in northern Georgia, not far from Chattanooga in Dalton. And you're going to love these people. Most of you know them. We're going to call ahead of time as I introduce them. You know, our website is bbsradio.com/raising-expectations. And that is our site right there, bbsradio.com/raising-expectations. Because off of this, you're going to see some of these wonderful people and read about them. And Stephanie has a website that is just incredible, how she is not only health and wellness, but she is helping ladies across the nation. Live your life out loud. And you can sure do that when you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and you allow him to speak to, live through, and encourage all who know you as you commit your life to him. And you'll need to read her site also. It's there on our site. You'll see it right there. Live your life out loud. Read what's going on. See the resources and what God's doing in her life. Because I guarantee you, she's not only getting her expectations raised, I know she's raising the expectations not only here with us, but to many people, many of these ladies she talks with. And to her left and our right is her husband. He's just about the best doctor that's ever been here. And that's Dr. Tank There, Craig Thayer, we call him Tank. Tank is 6'7", and he's got a heart that's bigger than that because the Lord Jesus shines through that heart to everybody he meets. This man walks with God, talks with God, encourages men, builds families, and is just one of our best brothers we've ever had and known in the Lord. I've been a pastor 55 years. Paul and I are the old guys here, and we can look back. Been a lot of great men in my life. There's never been anybody any better or anybody that quite often touches touches my heart like these people I'm sharing with you. You want to follow Tank in class. In fact, if you go and get his book called Saved, Saved is a life story that he wrote down, a trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles in his life. And the thing I love, it says, finding God where? In the ordinary. You don't have to go looking for God because, folks, he's already found you. And boy, does he have expectations for your life he's ready to raise. Find out how he raised Tank's expectations all through his life, brought him to becoming a great surgeon, a great trauma surgeon. And his book is excellent. You'll find it on our website, One Trauma Surgeon's True Accounts of the Miracles of His Life. When you read this, you're really going to get blessed. And so you'll want to find that on our website. And right above it, I hope you'll read my book. It's in its third edition. Many of you have asked for that. Legitimate Faith. My mentor was Zig Ziglar. Producing Authentic Hope. That's a study that will hopefully take you out of the ideas. Oh, everybody's got faith into the idea. Wow, I just learned how to plug it in. And you'll find it there in the book of Hebrews. And when you get into that, hopefully it fires you up for the expectations that God has just for you, like we talked about in Tank's book. So these are wonderful folks. They're our family. We love them dearly. And if you jump from their spot and all three of us jump over and hit on the plane and go west, young man, somebody wrote that down. I can't take credit. I think it was Horace Greeley. There we go. But go west, young man. And we'll go right there through Alabama, through Mississippi, head over through the top of Louisiana. Said that right, huh, for a Californian. But anyway, Louisiana, over into East Texas, and you find the great metropolis there, Dallas-Fort Worth, Metroplex, and there in McKinney, you'll find another great man of God that we love, and that is our brother Ron Greer, who and he works with Man in the Mirror. Go to our website, you'll find his site, see what he's doing. He's the area director out of McKinney, Texas there. He's committed to strengthening churches and equipping Christian men. Men need to find out what God's doing in their lives. And you know, it's so simple. If you just get somebody that says, hey, let me show you where the light switch is. And then as we pray, watch God turn on that switch, and what he does in your life will become much more apparent. Ron is a brother in Christ. We love this guy. He is somebody that brings joy, and we have such a great time. We get comments every week, feedback from all of you, how much these people bless your lives, and I'm so thankful. I know I'm not the only one that gets my life blessed by every one of them, and I thank God for them. So this is the group right here. I don't have a dynamic duo. We have a dynamic, what do you call it, Tank? A dynamic, there's four of us. Five, one, two, three, four, five of us.
What, dynamic quattro?
Thank you. Thank you. That's probably a medical term. I like that. Thank you,
man. That's the transmission of an Audi, I think.
Okay, that's good. Not a word for me.
Dynamic quattro.
That's it. Special quattro. All right. Well, sign us up. Well, we want to welcome to you, all of us, from our hearts to yours. We want to bring our good friend that I know you love and appreciate from Ojai, California, is Dr. Robert Buckingham. And as you know, he has been a practicing physician over 46 years with a career in basic science research that spans over half a century. The practice of medicine in its full spectrum, from outpatient medicine to the sickest in the intensive care unit, has shown him the repeated patterns of illness whose onset and veracity are linked to the repetitive pro-inflammatory free radicals they elicit in your central circulation. Now, when Doc is talking with Thayer here, well, you'll be able to get a little more of this. Let me put it in my turn. Simply put, he has an inside understanding of just how God put us together and what we should do within our bodies and our lives to beat that old aging bug, stay young for Christ, and continue to share Christ until he calls us home. So he's going to come on now, and he'll be sharing with us. He's got a great book. You're going to see a lot more of it later. It's fantastic. He's going to talk about this coming right out of one of his books here. So let's give the round of applause. Thank you, Steph.
I'm ready for it.
Doc, welcome to Raising Expectations. You're part of our family. We're blessed to have you with us. And share a little bit about how you beat aging, and then we'll just open this up and have a good evening together.
Well, thank you all. It's been quite a day today, and I can't help but believe we are going to be in store for some renewal in our country over the next 3 or 4 years.
Amen.
And I'm grateful for that. But I want to talk a little bit more about rhythms. I know that dancing is a rhythm, but actually what we should be thinking about are how we live our daily 24 hours. What does that look like? And it turns out that there are rhythms that we should be facilitating that actually promote health. And then there are rhythms that if we go in the opposite direction, they actually aggravate health. So the basic rhythms that I typically bring up, and these have now been scientifically validated. The best time to go to bed is about 10 o'clock at night. The best time to get up in the morning is about 5 to 6 in the morning. The best time to exercise is going to be in the morning hours. The best time to eat lunch is around 12 noon. The best time to eat dinner is about 6 p.m. The best fluids to eat or drink, probably water, number one, a little coffee, number two, organic teas, number three, and everything else, probably not. The best types of food to eat in those meals, cruciferous vegetables, beans, nuts, organic chicken, fatty fish. And that's really about it. It comes down to those simple things. And then, of course, the devil is always in the details. But if you can master these rhythms, I'm going to tell you something. If you go all the way down into the capillary cell, all the way down to the end organ cell and the capillary cell in its domain, these cells are also practicing rhythms. And those rhythms are dance steps. And that's what facilitates health within their interstitial spaces. So if you're living a good rhythm, the cells themselves will also be promoted to facilitating healthy rhythms themselves. So believe it or not, all this stuff is interrelated and interactive and integrated with each other.
Yeah. Okay. So, Doc, now, what's the alternative or the if I'm not doing half, is there some other alternatives I can add in there to make up for the difference? Because you mentioned things that the food to eat and the things to drink. My drink isn't on there.
What's your drink, Ron?
I'd rather not say right now. We'll wait till the doc's not here.
We know your guys' food. It's fudge. So.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing terrible, Doc. Wow. Up too late. Up getting woke and waking up too early. Well, too late, rather. And not getting enough. I don't get coffee at all. But I do drink water. I got that one down, Pat. But here's what's your idea on activities? Like you said, dancing, working out, as in cardio working out or strength working out. Or what do you have in mind there?
Well, the devil's in the details there, and that's everyone's going to have a little bit different take. In my books, I talk about interval training and I talk about intensity of working out.
Ah, okay.
And let me just put it to you this way. If you cannot work out with much intensity, you have to extend the amount of time you work out. Right. So let's say you can only walk. You don't have enough stamina, enough strength, enough energy to do anything more. That walking has to be done at least over 60 minutes, maybe even an hour and a half a day, just to get enough steps in or enough walking in to make a significant difference in the anti-inflammatory effect of exercise. Okay. On the other hand, if you are able to interval train, if you do have or do have the capacity to exercise with intensity, you should be exercising about 30 to 35 minutes a day under that situation. That would mean that you're breathing hard, you're taking deep breaths, you're breathing maybe 30 a minute or so, for an extended period of time. And that that type of exercise creates maximum anti-inflammatory benefit if you can get there. And that's should be coupled and mixed with aerobic exercise, which would be things like, not necessarily jogging, but elliptical work, swimming, on the treadmill, that sort of thing. And then also anaerobic exercise, which would include weights, both free and or machine weights. Okay. Now, if you tend to be overweight, the scale should be tipped towards more aerobic exercise, say 2/3 aerobic, 1/3 anaerobic. If you tend to be thin or you're losing muscle mass, the reverse should be the case. You should be exercising 2/3 anaerobic or with weights and 1/3 with aerobic or with elliptical or jogging or on the treadmill. That's kind of how I see it. It's the exercise component to anti-aging and improving cell health is critically important. And it's also very poorly understood. So, but the most important thing about it is it has to be circadian. It has to be every day. It has to be something that we should be doing, just like brushing our teeth, taking a shower, getting dressed. It should be just like that.
Wow. Ooh, it's not a conviction, man, already.
What are your thoughts about, probably more so for men, but muscle mass?
Muscle mass is really a sign of aging. Muscle mass deteriorates with time and gets worse over time.
Yes.
And this is why many, many, many people make the mistake of, well, I was out walking today, or I was out playing tennis today, or I played a round of golf today. But that isn't really what's going to help you maintain muscle mass. You really do have to lift weights. I've got 85-year-old women who come into my office and I say, yeah, you're going to have to get some weights. And they look at me like I'm crazy. but you know, it's important. If you're going to have a paradigm shift in how you age and how what you look like and how you move and how you can protect your muscles, tendons, ligaments, and joints, you have to do it differently than your predecessors. This will include managing your muscle mass and tone. And there's really only, because we're losing it as we get older, we have to actually work against aging on this situation. We have to lift weights and try to maintain our muscle mass and tone. Otherwise, it's going to go away. And as it goes away, our skeleton changes, where we don't walk as well. We don't lift as well. We get weaker and we are prone to falls and breaking bones. So it's really important that we find a balance and counterbalance to exercise. If you read all of my books, you'll find that I keep using the word balance and counterbalance. There really is a balance and counterbalance to these circadian rhythms. And I go all the way down into the cell. I talk about how health is really based on how these cells can counterbalance different purposes. So it's very important that when we exercise, we do have a balance of aerobic and anaerobic effects.
I had another question for me would be, so I'm 68, almost 69. And one of the concerns that my doctor keep expressing is he says my heart rate gets too high when I'm doing my aerobic workout. is he just that off, or is it? Well, quite frankly, I'm hard headed. If I don't get up to a certain level, certain breathing level, I feel like I'm not getting a good workout. So, what I don't want to happen is what's happened to a couple of my friends and my brother just drop over at 60 and 65. So what's your take on that?
That's an absolute great question.
Right.
I exercise to capacity every single day. I mean, I exercise to a heart rate of roughly 160 beats a minute every single day. And it's at that level for at least 20 minutes. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't recommend that for almost anyone in my practice. It took me 8 years to get to that place where I can do this safely. What it requires is that you are dedicated, that you do it every day, that you gradually bring yourself up to that level. And that if you're feeling any symptoms like chest pain or pounding or chest or palpitations, that you know you've overextended.
Well, only thing I feel is my lungs are shrinking. I'm trying to keep it up there.
Yeah,
but right. there's some blockage in my breathing tube there or something. well, that's one of the things I've been boxing, running, karate for a number of years, but I actually got off my running about 5 years ago. So that's part of the concern going back up to that level, not having done it regularly.
So you have to come back gradually, okay. And you have to be mindful about how to do this, and especially if you want to be safe. But I actually started this process myself after I had my stent 17, 18 years ago, and I weighed 215 pounds.
Whoa.
And over the course of several years, I came off of six different medications, and I started this exercise, increasing exercise capacity, and it can be done. But you have to really... You have to be mindful about it, and you have to listen to your body. Here's the point. Exercise should be consistent. It should be daily. It should be counterbalanced with weights and aerobic. And you should be doing as much intensity as you can do. Now, what I would ask your doctor, your internist or cardiologist, why are you concerned about my exercise heart rate? Am I having an arrhythmia, or is it just because I'm older and you're concerned I'm going to drop over? If you're having an arrhythmia like atrial fibrillation when you exercise, that is a sign that maybe you should back off a little bit. Okay. On the other hand, if you're exercising with a sinus tachycardia, which is the regular rhythm that we all have most of the time, if you're exercising that and you're not having any arrhythmias when you exercise and you're not having any chest pain or palpitations, I see no reason or harm in not doing it. Okay. It makes good sense.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, because I love getting to that sort of second wind level. Then if I don't get there, I feel like I wasted time.
I'll tell you
that's
something.
Good. Well, that was the thing with him. He was just, it was primarily my age and my level of activity he was concerned about. He thought I could overdo it.
He knows more about you than I do. I mean, you know, when I talk about cardiometabolic risk factor stratification, that's a big word, but it has a lot to do with lean body mass index, your vital signs, your blood pressure, what your blood sugar is, what your cholesterol, LDL, lipoprotein, little a, LDL, non-HDL cholesterol, all triglycerides. All these things have to be factored into your health because these are problems that can increase vascular inflammatory risk. So, all of this has to be factored into an exercise prescription. Okay. So I'm assuming that you're consistent and you're relatively healthy in all these other areas. I see no harm in increasing the intensity of your workout.
Okay. Well, the confession would be that cholesterol is a little higher than he likes. I did cut out the ice cream. I cut out all the dairy stuff.
Here's the thing.
The fudge.
I need to keep my color up. I keep the fudge coming. You know, I got
listen. If your BMI is up a little
beta
bit,
carrots, you need more carrots.
Up a little bit. If your cholesterol is up a little bit, those are all red flags that you shouldn't be exercising to the highest level of intensity because you've got these red flags that are persistent in your bloodstream. You've got to get rid of all those red flags before you have, let's say, the green light to exercise with impunity.
Okay. See, Doc, you gave me a green light. You said good. I would say great. Then you like poked the air out of my balloon. All right.
Cleaner fuel for the engine there.
I really do. I need to get the other ones down, though. I'm working on it. I'm trying to avoid the medication. I'm skeptical, but I'm working on it. Like I said, all the ice cream's gone. All the dairy stuff outside that I love is gone. The chocolate's still there. Sorry. I'm working on it.
Ron, I'd put some confession in and try to get some ideas like you just said, but he's my actual doctor, and I'm afraid he'd tell the whole story. I'm not gonna go there. So, right, Doc? I'm better not saying that. I know he got my weight down and much better that way, but that's too dangerous, Ron, for me. But Greg, what do you think about that? Is that all make
sense? Yeah, I totally. I mean, Dr. Buckingham's the expert, so I'd like playing devil's advocate and being the patient and asking questions like, no, I heard we need cholesterol for our brains. So why should I be on a statin? Or what's another good one? Oh, the testosterone question in men, male menopause type stuff. And
these are great questions. So,
female menopause is horrible too, if
yeah.
you wonder
She gives me hot flashes.
So, how much cholesterol do our brains need? I think the answer's in. And the LDL level should be around 40 for optimal cholesterol levels to the brain and for optimal anti-inflammatory effect. So the range for LDL cholesterol should be between 40 and 70 if we are actually anti-inflammatory. If our cholesterol, let's say our LDL cholesterol is anti-inflammatory, it should be between 40 and 70. Anything higher than that, and we may be in trouble. Anything lower than 40, and we're asking for some intracranial problems. So it's, there is a healthy range. Oh, now statins, you got to read my books on statins because it's statins have something called a pleiotropic effect on pro-inflammatory rhythms. In other words, it's just statins just don't lower cholesterol. They're doing other things as well, and those things are all anti-inflammatory. So we call that pleiotropic effect of statin statins. The only thing you have to do with when you take a statin is to make sure that you take coenzyme Q10 with it, because CoQ10 is a cofactor that really assists mitochondrial energy production and also assists in free radical degradation. As we get older, CoQ10 diminishes, and it gets really low when we take a statin. So it's very important to supplement coenzyme Q10 when you take a statin. But I have no qualms at all about recommending statins to any of my patients. I've had patients with serious problems with their cardiovascular system, their heart, their aorta, even their brains, and they've been on statins for 20 years, and they have really had a stable life. So I'm just going to say hats off to the statins. Not everyone can take them, but if you can take them, they're worth taking.
So no,
Yeah, I have
so I
to
should
admit
keep
that.
taking that.
I have personally seen a few patients because I'll do carotid endarterectomies, and so I clean out. I basically peel out the inner two layers of the artery, which is full of cholesterol and plaque and all those things that narrow the artery down. And I have seen, the indication for doing that is when they're 80% or greater narrowed. And I've seen people on statins reverse that. So, and I think us vascular guys have known that arterial disease is an inflammatory disease. It's not just a buildup of because we got elevated cholesterol. It's a true inflammatory disease of the wall of the artery, and that then causes the buildup of plaque. So, but I've seen it reverse with the statins. So it's a, I never would have thought that would happen because when you peel the stuff out, it's pretty solid, and you don't see it. You don't think it'll dissolve, but apparently it does.
Okay,
It
now,
does.
just a clarification. So the statins dissolve the plaque and the cholesterol in the buildup, or does it? Sorry,
I
say
think
it
what
again.
happens is it lowers your cholesterol levels and other of your lipids. By lowering that, you change the gradient. So if you have high cholesterol levels, it wants to be stored certain places. And in this case, it loves arterial walls, so which then narrows the pipe.
So I
Yeah,
should consistently take the statins then, huh?
cell in the body, and it affects the interstitial space of every endothelial cell in the body uniformly. So it's a diffuse problem that involves every single interstitial space domain of every single endothelial and capillary cell in your entire body. That's why my sense is that if you reduce the concentration of these free radicals, I call them vascular inflammatory free radicals, in which LDL cholesterol is one of them, You then create a situation where the capillary cell can reinstitute its dance step rhythm. It begins to reinstitute a dance step rhythm that counterbalances energy production with nitric oxide production. And that is the determinant of health and the secret to anti-aging. Counterbalance. It's not an increase in energy combustion. It's not an increase in nitric oxide combustion. It's an increase in counterbalance of both combustions. That's what creates cellular health.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when he tells me, amen.
Now, Doc, you mentioned about the CoQ10. So it brings another question. So I'm taking a CoQ10, the omega-3, which my eye doctor just had me increase, and the other eye oil, lycopene, I think it is. Is there anything in there that might counteract the other? Is it okay to keep taking all those together?
Well,
that's one part of my concern, too.
Lycopene, maybe you might be using that for your prostate.
Oh no! Well, it's not lycopene then. What's the one in the for the eyes? Little purple.
Oh, you're talking about acid
Paul. Quit laughing, Paul.
Okay.
Zeaxanthin or astaxanthin and lutein. Those two are the antioxidants for the eyes.
Okay. All right. Okay. I guess part of my concern is because I'm a horrible patient. I get 10 things to take, and I somehow putting extra stuff in my body, I just get real ugh. I sometimes one of it's counteracting or if it's interfering with my blood pressure medication, I get real paranoid.
Sure. And,
well, I'll just be honest up front. I like my doctor. I just don't trust him completely. Sorry. Well, so I give him headaches. I ask him 10,000 questions, and then I still sometimes resist. Sorry.
There's never been a time in the world of information where every let's say positive thought or positive direction is met with resistance and a counter thought, and so there is a lot of. There's a lot of controversy regarding just about everything we do these days, right. But there are some things that I can tell you that are absolutely essential. And these rhythms I've been talking about, these are right. Anti-inflammatory rhythms, the way we eat, what we drink, how we sleep, how we move and exercise. Our bodies respond to consistency and they respond to these rhythms. They respond positively. And when we do them, consistently, we begin the quest of an anti-inflammatory infrastructure to our body. This will then fight off things like infections, cancer, autoimmune diseases, scar tissue, and ischemic events to our different end organs. Wow. This then will reduce the incidence of the rate of how we age. The end organs become less prone to the aging process.
Right. Okay.
So another question for you. What's your feeling about heat and cold shock proteins? So cold plunging and sauna.
Ooh.
Well, this is a practice that's really popular in Eastern Europe, Russia, Ukraine. I had my first dose of this shortly after I met my wife. Way back in 2014, and she swears by it. I mean, she just absolutely loves going into the ice water bath and then coming out and getting all steamed up. I just don't know if I can get into it. It just seems like a real shock to go from extreme cold to extreme heat. I have to tell you, I have to take a pass on that one. I just can't say with impunity whether or not there's any anti-inflammatory benefit to it. I know there are some guys who drop into ice every single day, and they're elite baseball and football players who drop into ice after a game, and they claim that it really reduces in the inflammation that occurs from what they were just doing. Yeah. There may be some truth to that, but at the same time, it is an incredible shock to the cardiovascular system to suddenly get into that incredibly cold situation. So I'm going to reserve judgment on that. I certainly don't recommend older people to do it until I have more information.
Older, define older. Sorry.
It's okay.
Let's just say people over age 60. I just don't have a good feel for the safety of the extremes.
Okay.
So in the wintertime, I just hop into our pool or spa cold. Yes, Ron. Craig has the same reaction. He's like, no.
Very
crazy.
Faithful watching.
No way I would do that. And we also have an infrared sauna, which you do like that.
Yeah, I do.
I'm telling you, the thing with the cold plunge, it's one of the hardest mental challenges for me. And it's one of the reasons I like it. And then the whole rest of the day, I feel amazing. It is horrible while it's happening. Horrible. Yeah.
I tried it once and had a real religious experience, Steph.
Yes.
I went in that water and I actually came out walking on the water. It was really something.
I believe that.
Listen, I really do think the jury's out on how much anti-inflammatory benefit the extreme cold and extreme heat will cause. But in the meantime, I'm just not sure I can advocate that for my patients right now.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the athletes. My nephew was a professional football player, and that was one of the things some of him and his teammates swore by. It allowed them to play a little longer into their mid late 30s. They claim, but I can never wrap my head around doing it. I did have an ice water plunge back years ago, and I was a firefighter and plunged through to ice in some ice cold water. Don't ever want to have an experience ever again, especially not on purpose, Steph, ever.
Paul, looks like you definitely got a thought on that one.
I think Paul wrote the insight on that when he says, doesn't even nature itself tell you that there's a God? And that's why polar bears have hair, and that's why whales have layers of fat, and, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I did a cold plunge, too, one time, fell through the ice on a pond when I was but I was smart. I sent my cousin out first, jump up and down on that, so et cetera. I'd really like to ask a question, Dr. Buckingham, because talking to doctors who practice medicine, my question is, you talk to a doctor, some have terrific bedside medicine.
Better.
Yeah. They can talk to you, which makes logical sense, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but it doesn't really inspire you to make any change. Other doctors can come in and say, well, you know what your problem is, lose 40 pounds and your life's going to be great. So boom. And then they'll qualify it by saying, hate to be so blunt. Well, okay, there you are. But I'd just like to ask a question. What's the psychology, if that's a fair question, what's the psychology behind motivating people to take care of themselves? I mean, if that makes any sense. Obviously, we could look at some people and they look overweight and out of shape and, they live to be 96 years old, with a fairly good quality of life. My dad managed that. So I don't know if it's making any sense, but somewhere down the line, when we look at it, how do we begin to put that together in our minds that these kind of things are good for you, rather than guilting people into making a decision? You know, is that making any sense at all, that question? I mean, there's got to be some good ways to approach it. And I appreciate the fact, you know, that read this book and read this book and read this book. And that's true. But when you're dealing with the human psyche, I don't know. I'm trying to formulate this question in my head. It's just really difficult. Who do you believe? Who do you believe? And medicine is going to give you answers on both sides of the question. For example, I take a rosuvastatin every day, and I take CoQ10, and you know, I've got a stent in my heart and a stent in each eye, and you know, things like that. And I do want to take care of myself. I really do. Given the pace of our lifestyles, it becomes sometimes increasingly difficult to do that. It's just easier just to sit down and say, I'm done. You know, when you're exhausted mentally and you're exhausted physically and, you know, those kind of things, it's really tough. So when you're talking to your patients, and I know they're all different, how do you approach moving them towards a good attitude of health or wanting to take care of themselves? Is that a fair question?
Well, it's an amazing question, because everyone is in a strikingly different position. I mean, I saw a young lady 19 years of age today. She's in a very different position than the 93-year-old woman that preceded her in my office, walking in with a cane. So everyone is in a different place. But what I try to express to people, and I don't really care who they are or what sex they are or how old they are or how much trouble they're in health-wise, there is a way out. You don't have to be in this position that you're in. You can make a difference if you start changing your lifestyle. You can make a difference. And that's what I tell people. You're not stuck. If anyone was stuck, it was me when I was 54 years old. I was overweight. I had asthma. My blood pressure, my blood sugar were going up. I just had a stent. The doctor just told me I'm going to have another stent in 3 years. The cardiologist did. I was bloated. I was snoring. I'm sure I had sleep apnea. So I was moving in the wrong direction. And I just had to figure it out. I went to the literature. I started reading. I started writing. And what I found was you don't have to finish that chapter. It doesn't have to end like that. You can actually make adjustments, and it doesn't matter where you are. You can start making adjustments, and they will be beneficial to you. That's the miracle of your body. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to live forever, but what it does mean is that you can slow the progression, in some cases even stop it or reverse it. You can slow the progression of whatever it is that's occurring within you. Now, I admit some people are at end stage this or end stage that, and having this discussion is much more difficult in those circumstances. And maybe that discussion should be more about comfort care or end-of-life care. But excluding that group, there are things that we can do every single day of our life that will improve our quality and will make a difference in how we feel.
Okay. So when I was pastoring, and I did that for 56 years, one of the things in counseling with people, I had to row around them for a little while until I found a place to establish a beachhead, which is, you know, some people are not, they're not inclined to accept that. So when you're treating patients in medical kind of ways, do you find in your practice, and Tank as well, do you find that there are those times where you have to spend what would seem to be an inordinate amount of time to find where you can move in and establish a beachhead in their lives, you know, where they begin to see it? In other words, do you treat the symptom until they finally latch on to the point that we're not about treating the symptom, we're about moving towards lifestyle change, okay? So do you find you've ever had the time to do that?
Every single visit that I have with a patient always involves something about the lifestyle. It has to. I mean, if I'm just writing prescriptions out for treating blood pressure or blood sugar or atherosclerotic vascular disease or something else, I'm doing the patient a disservice. If I'm not talking about their alcohol habit or their tobacco habit or their sugar habit or their salt habit or the fact that they're not exercising or they're not sleeping properly, I'm doing the patient a disservice. Because if you don't address those issues, it does not matter how many pills I prescribe or what I'm treating, it's going to end up being refractory. Because those inflammatory problems and behaviors are going to continue to nurture those problems.
Go ahead. Please, first.
I was just going to say, from a coaching perspective, one thing that I notice people do is they, and you see this with New Year's resolutions, they decide to do 40 things at once, and halfway through the first day, they've failed, and so they stop. And there's two really simple things I encourage people to do is – either add one glass of water more than you drank normally per day for 2 weeks when you can do that. So literally you used to drink four glasses. You're going to drink five glasses every day for 2 weeks. If you can do that, pat yourself on the back, add one more thing, like very, very simple. The other one is a 5 minute walk. Right. If you do anything more than that, fantastic. But that's the only commitment you make to yourself for 2 weeks, because I think people look down the road and you hear the list. All these rhythms that Dr. Buckingham talked about, I do them in my daily life, but I didn't do them all at once, right?
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah, I think Paul and Dr. Buckingham you're talking about is someone recognizing something. And what I mean by that is the workbook would be, there's things I love to do each year that are very physical, backpack. So I got to stay in shape. So that keeps me motivated, right?
Right.
But I know what that is. I know what it's going to take to get there and I achieve it. Or if I don't, I'm going to suffer. And, but patients don't normally do that. So I think if you kept the list of things that you love to do, and each year you go back over that list and you cross off the ones you've lost, I think that's going to have an impact on you, say, I didn't realize I lost the ability to cross my legs, you know, sit on my heels, walk for a mile, run for whatever, you know, run because you haven't run for a while. It can be different things. And then realize these are things you've lost. And so that may motivate you then to say,
yes,
okay, I really need to do something. But until you do that, it's like being overweight. Until you get on a scale, your brain doesn't think you're overweight. I mean, at some level you do, but you don't know how much and what you got to do to get back to normal weight until you get on the scale.
Yeah. Doc, I know what you said to me, and I'm going to ask you that last question in just a moment. We're going to have to take a word right here. Time goes by when we sure.
Oh, my God.
It just learning things. Yeah. But if you could hold 1 second, we're going to talk about QR codes. Things like that that we can get you on a website. Stephanie's going to you. I got it down. QR code. How about that? Impressive. Yeah, I wrote it. So anyway, but we've hit a big financial difficulty, kind of a robbery. And I just want to let some of you know. And Steph, if you could share about our website, and we would appreciate some help. Anybody that can help us. We're so glad you tuned in. You're our family, Steph.
Sure. If you want to stay tuned on all that we're doing and participate in this program, you can do that by going to the website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And like Pastor Joe mentioned, if you just scroll a tiny bit down past the radio station links, we take donations. There's that fancy QR code right there. If you don't know what that is, you can take your phone, you put it up to it, and it'll prompt you to a link. And you can give there. We appreciate your donations. There's also a yellow donate button. And right below the picture, there's a way to contact Pastor Joe directly. It does take money to make things go on the air. And so we really do appreciate your donations. We love to come here each week, but it is a costly thing. So if you have room in your budget, it's a new year, you might be reevaluating where you're giving, we would really appreciate you giving some consideration to this program.
Absolutely.
You continue to scroll down. You can see past show recordings. You can see all kinds of great past guests we've had. And then you can learn about each co-host, how to connect with us. And as Pastor Joe shared earlier, there's his book and there's also my husband's book. And so all kinds of goodies on there that you can click on to stay connected with us.
Thank you, Steph. Thank you so much. Doc, I want to say this, and then we've got just about, if you can give us like a 60-second answer on this. When I first met this doctor right here, he and I sat down with him, he did all the things that you all are saying, just the way Tank is with people. I mean, he wanted to know a little about me, how he could help, where was my life going, and he said it in such an incredible, intelligent, caring way that he just became very special in my life. I'm very thankful that he's my doctor here. Doc, maybe you could wind out in just 60 seconds of our airtime how you feel about blessing people, because you're a blessing, sir.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for having me on again. I'm as blessed as anyone in this process. I enjoy coming on and being a part of your program, and I love the fact that you're speaking to many people who have not only spiritual needs but physical needs as well. From my perspective, I just want to advocate for anyone out there who's having pain, who's having fatigue, who's having maybe some breathlessness or aches, having difficulty. What I'm going to say to you is there is a way that you can make a difference. And it starts with these very basic things that we may even take for granted. What we put in our mouth, what we eat, how we sleep, what we drink, how we move, what we think about each day. All these things are part of the process of whether we feel good or whether we feel not so good, whether we ache or whether we ache less, whether we are short of breath or whether we don't feel that as much. These things we've been talking about today in this discussion, they're very, very important in how these symptoms occur or don't occur. So I advocate for everyone here who's listening to this program. If you want a little more information about that, I've written several books. I think Pastor Joe can maybe talk about that at some other time. But I would hope that everyone will find that this is really about how to manage your health, how to take care of pain, how to reduce fatigue, how to stay healthy.
Amen. Thank you, Doc. And you check back with us and we'll get you a list of those books, whatever one he has there, because they're excellent. And Ron, thanks, brother. Paul, good to see you. Steph, thanks so much. And everybody listening in tonight, thank you for being with us tonight. We're honored and blessed and thank God for each one of you. Thanks for considering us and thinking about us, and thanks for your prayers. They mean the world. And pray for Doc. He's a great, great man of God. He does great things helping people every day of all ages. And pray for our doctor, too. Good to see you, Tank. Okay. Yeah. Bless you all, and we'll see you next week, same time, same station.
God bless you all.
Good thanks night. For the conviction, Doc. Thanks very much.
There you go, Ronnie. Yeah. Gotcha.
Love you, Doc. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.